morning, church. You know, I'm a confident person, and those of you who know me will be able to testify to that. But today I'm not feeling so confident, but I'm thankful to be able to speak to the young people today. Thank you, Reva, for your welcome, your introduction. You know, while we laugh, there is...
If there's something else I can help with.
No, thank you. You know, we often talk about children being the future. But here at Watford Town, our children are now. They're very present, Sister Eunice, and they're growing. And we will understand that as Christians, we can't just exist. It's a pointless life if we're just living and existing for me, for myself. There should be someone on your mind. There should be someone that you're always thinking about, that you want to do everything within your power to bring them to Christ. And if that's not the case with you, then you need to talk to the Father, because he has someone for you to lead to him. And for me, it's the young people. I love these kids. I love them like my family. Amen. And my desire is to be in heaven. I pray that's your desire too. But not on my own. With every single one of them. Amen. Even the ones that get on my... No. None of them fall under that criteria. But I want to thank God for allowing me to be in the pulpit today. And I promise not to keep you too long, Elder. I have a small word for you. And it's geared towards the children, but I guess there's an application that we can all learn something from. So we've already had the parade of these wonderful drawings that we have up behind me, and that just testifies to what we've been focusing on this week. We've been focusing not just on creation, but we've been looking at creation versus evolution. This strange man-made concept. And so each day we focused on a particular subject, an insect or a part of the human body, in order for us to emphasize that there is no way, church, that these things evolved. But they all clearly were thought of, designed, and created by a divine, intelligent designer. We call him God. So throughout the week, we have looked at the Bombardier Beetle. And if you weren't here, I mean, oftentimes I come and I am blessed by a program, but Sunday, I never even knew a Bombardier Beetle existed. And if you don't know anything about a Bombardier Beetle, write it down and go on YouTube and type in Bombardier Beetle. Pardon the pun, you will be blown away. You'll be blown away. Then we looked at the honeybee and the bee's radar system, which was rather insightful. And every time that we looked at the specific subject, it was linked. There was a spiritual aspect, something for us to learn and take away. Then we looked on the miracle of flight and the tiniest wonder we looked at on Thursday, the ant. And we heard Claude tell that wonderful wonderful story of how intelligent these simple, small little things that we step on and kill in our kitchens. And then we have the wonder of the eye. The eye is an amazing, what is it, thing, organ. You can tell biology wasn't my strong subject. And today we're going to focus for a little bit on plant wonderland. But I just want you to think about this. Have you ever thought of this? We have hospitals up and down this country, all over the world. And when you go to a hospital, you will find that there are, as big as a hospital is, that's as many departments as there are. A department for every part of the human body. And there is one doctor, there is not one doctor, rather, in the whole world who is an expert on every single part of the body. Not one. Someone might say, GP. But the GP will refer you to the specialist in the area where you say is painful. So they have an overarching view, but they're not specialized. So there are as many doctors as there are departments in any hospital in order to look after us. And if you go for your arm and they find something with your neck, you're going to have to wait 3 weeks. Plus, to go back to see the neck doctor, and the neck doctor will then refer you to the foot doctor, and so it goes on. Within a year, you've seen however many doctors. I don't mean to insult any of the medical staff who work here, but you get the point. So many people to look after one body, yet there is one creator. God, who created each of us, every single part of our body was intricately formed by him, was created by him. And the Bible says that he then breathed his breath into this mound of clay, and sinews came together, and nerves formed, and bones fused, and blood started to flow, and everything just started to function as was his plan. What a God. What a God. Psalms 139, verse 14 reminds us, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. The reality is that we could have identified every created piece of nature or every created organ or part of the body, and we could do this every day for a whole year, several times over, I'm sure, because we cannot exhaust the creativity of God. Around us, we can see all the images that the children have designed. And that, again, reminds us of what we went through this week. But it also shows us how the master designer has infused into our children the ability to design themselves. Can we say an amen for our children, church, as we thank God for their gifts of art? You know, in this world, there are many wrong concepts and lessons that are mistaught about God. People misunderstand God. And it's your responsibility and my responsibility to kindly, lovingly put them right. What we have as our guide, the Word of God, that's all we need. The sure Word of God. This is our source of knowledge, and if we use it often, church, and if we use it well and allow the Holy Spirit to guide us, we will develop a mind so extended with truth that nothing will be able to pull us away from him. 2 Timothy 2:15 says this, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And Psalms 19 verse 1 reminds us that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Don't you love the word of God? For a few moments, I want to encourage you through nature, specifically the young people and the adults alike. I want you to look at, as I talk, how you can use nature to help to protect your mind. Thank you, Nevaeh, for reading our focus text taken from Psalms 119, verse 98, which says, thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. Let us pray. Father, thank you for your words to us today. Father, I'm just a humble vessel that you have chosen today to deliver your word. Please speak through me, and may the words that I speak be clearly heard and understood. May souls be blessed, may hearts be changed, and may lives be surrendered to you. And at the end of this program, may you and you alone be given all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. This we do humbly pray and ask in and through the precious name of your dear Son, Jesus Christ. Let the church say, amen. Amen. This year, well, last year as well, actually, if you didn't know, we have on a Wednesday evening at 6:30 a children's prayer meeting. And it has been an absolute blessing. Blessing to me. And our children turn up. They look forward to it. Whether I look young or whether I look old, they come. And we've been going through a devotional book called Nature in a Nutshell. And it is a fantastic book. I love it. Maybe that's the child in me, Reva. But I love that book. And it has some wonderful practical lessons in it. And it's one of these devotions that I've shaped this message around. And the theme is protecting the mind. And the devotion is entitled, What Bark Does. So in the forest, you will see all kinds of trees. Some look tall and straight. I remember Elder Richard, some years back, he went to America. I think it was California. He's left the room. It was California, and he spoke about some trees that he saw. I think they're called redwood trees or something like that. Some huge, huge trees. But we've got all types of trees in this world, tall and straight. Others appear gnarled and weathered. Some trunks feel smooth. Others feel scaly or rigid. Some trees have branches that grow near the ground, and others have high branches. And it's always the ones with high branches that you kick your football in and can't get it back. Some trees prefer damp soil, while others thrive in rocky, dry places. Yet all trees need the same basic things, especially if they want to get healthy bark. Bark is the tree's skin. It protects it from weather, and it also protects it from disease. The bark covers small tubes that run from the tree's root to its top, carrying sap upward to nourish the leaves and to nourish the branches. Fire can destroy the bark. And it can also be destroyed. The bark can also be destroyed by animals or insects. But as long as a tree has some good bark protecting enough tubes, it will live. You know, I remember around 2001, maybe before then, 2000, I had the pleasure, I was working in the Middle East. It was a little island called Bahrain. And while I was working there, I was asked if I wanted to go and visit the Tree of Life, that they called it. And we drove in the desert for a couple of hours, and all I could see was sand. I'm thinking, Tree of Life? And then all of a sudden, just looming over the horizon, was one single tree, Elder. One tree, just there in the middle of the desert, flourishing. It was green leaves. I couldn't believe it. Somehow it had found a water source that the roots of the tree had tapped into to enable it to be able to grow and develop and thrive. The Tree of Life, they called it. But if a tree becomes girdled or completely stripped of bark around its trunk, it will die. Without the life-giving sap circulating through the tubes in this tree, the tree cannot survive. Stay with me. The connection between the roots of the tree, the leaves of the tree, and the branches of the tree keeps it alive. So, young people, each of you, adults alike, are like a tree with Jesus as your root. Through the tubes, your mind, Jesus nourishes you. But like bark, your tubes, your mind, must be protected. So what have you spent your time watching this week? What books have you found more interesting than the Bible? What social media has got your attention that after Sabbath, maybe not even after Sabbath, just got to check? That means reading, watching, and thinking. You must be focused on wholesome things, good things, spiritual things. The Bible says, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, do what? Think on these things. The Bible says of God, your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I don't know if you've ever been, how many of you drive in here? How many of you drive? Let me see by a show of hands. Okay. I don't know how many of you have ever been in a situation where you've been driving around looking for a parking space. Someone's already laughing. That's all I've said, and they're chuckling. I think they're way ahead of me. And you find a spot, and you stop, and you're waiting for the person to reverse out. And when they reverse out in a way that you can't move until they go. But a car comes the other way, and they can move. And they nip in before you. What scripture comes to mind? But the point is this. The Bible says, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are lovely, think on those things. That's where our mind should be. Because if we focus on wholesome things, our mindset, rather than road rage or something else, God bless you. Because the Bible also says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The desire of Christ is for his character to be your character, for his mind to be your mind, so that everything you do is exactly the same thing that God would do if he was in the same situation. There are many of us who struggle with the text that says, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Many don't believe it's possible to be perfect on this earth. Enoch was. Elijah was. Moses was. So you can also be perfect in Christ, only in Christ. You know, I reflect on my life when I was younger, brought up in an Adventist family, but, you know, genes kind of dictate your characteristic, who you are, how you develop. And oftentimes your religion, you push it aside to allow who you are when you don't get the right shifts at work, when people treat you how you shouldn't be treated in the playground. We want to take control, and I've behaved in some terrible ways that embarrasses me when I reflect and think. But I mention it to say to you that we will make mistakes. But if we stay connected to the branch, the root, Jesus Christ, we will grow. But we have to stay connected. And the children will know exactly where I'm going, because the only way you can stay connected is through prayer and through the word. Amen. And if we neglect this, you know, I've heard individuals say that sometimes they don't have time to have Bible study in the morning, so they'll do it in the evening. Folly. Folly. It's almost like saying, here's a plant. I like my plant. It's been given to me. I haven't got time to water it this morning. I'll water it this evening when I come home. It may be dead by then. We need to surround ourselves with Christ. We can't run out the house without Christ. See you this evening. God doesn't work like that. On Sunday, Brother Dean gave us an analogy. He gave us the reference of the early manna, the manna that was given to the children of Israel. It fell in the morning, fresh. And if you left it throughout the day to the sunrise, it would disappear. God blesses us every single day, but there are special, specific blessings assigned at certain times. If you make an arrangement with God to meet him in the morning and you are committed to that time, what a blessing. Amen. And if you know, you know. And I'm challenging you, be connected to the vine. Stay connected to the root. If we follow the guidelines of the word, if we follow the guidelines of Scripture. God will protect us. God will protect you. Our creation week has pretty much come to an end, but I don't think there were many of us that really believed in evolution anyway, so I don't think we've transformed anybody from being an evolutionist to becoming a creationist. What we have done is just endorsed the fact and re-emphasized the point that God is the designer. He's the creator of life. In him we live and move and have our being. Without him, we are nothing. You know, this week I went to two funerals. I was at a funeral on Wednesday, and then I was at another funeral on Thursday. Death is real, church. But there is hope. But we must secure our hope whilst we are alive. So my final words to you as I sit down. Stay connected. Stay connected to the vine. And allow the root, the Son of God, to impact your heart, your soul, and your mind so that each day you will grow and his character will become more and more revealed in your life. God bless you. Amen.